She probably does know what she's doing.
Oh, shit. Were you recording all that?
I could cut that out, you know.
Dude, please cut that out.
Because nobody would know what we were talking about. But if they did, they'd be like, yeah, she does know what she's doing. Gross. It's not a brag. I'd give that one back. I'd totally give that back. So what's up, everybody?
What's up, P&P, Partners and Pals, Donnie Raven,
Sean Magnum, PP time for everybody. We're here, and our phones are, like, going off.
We're big deals now, dude. We're rock stars and podcast stars, fucking
security stars, package stars,
CEO stars.
See, we're executives.
Executive stars, yeah. Like, I mean,
we don't have like the kind of executive money where we can make you do sexual stuff to us to advance yet. Like, not that we're going to.
Well,
I mean, but if you offer, we'll have the conversation. But nobody's, you know, can see what rhymes with sexual is consensual, kind of.
Applaud.
Those two need to go together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? Anything cool happen?
First off, corrections and omissions here. I don't know if I said that right.
You did.
I heard it on another podcast.
Yeah, they do that sometimes.
My buddy Zach from Plague 9 hit me up.
And boy, he's not my buddy. Was he what? Like, were y'all talking shit?
Oh, yeah, I talk shit about you with everybody. But last week we were talking with Tsunami Samurai about they might be giants and they might be and doing a theme song. And Zach said, Bare Naked Ladies did the theme song for the Big Bang Theory and Gary and Mike. And he said,
That's the other two checks they got.
Yes. And he said that we also forgot to tell everybody that on February 2nd, there's two amazing shows in Louisville. One of them is Cancer Slug, Plague 9, and Mommy's Cigarettes at the Whirling Tiger. And the other one
is the Creep Sync release show, CD release show. I jumped in there.
Yeah, you did. With the Vibrolas. And that's at Side and Fadden's at 9 o'clock, and it's totally free.
So,
I got more notes, too. I prepared this week.
Sorry, I drank some caffeine earlier, and you actually prepared? Yeah, I've just been working and then, like, eating shit I shouldn't be.
Oh, I've been just, you know, working.
I've been eating like a fat fuck, Donnie. Good. I've been stuffing desserts down my fat fucking pie hole. Yeah, that's how many I've been eating. I use the word pie hole.
Yeah.
Like those Philadelphia cheesecake things, those little cheesecake shits, dude. I have to eat the whole double packet. I can't eat just one of them motherfuckers, dude.
Right. You know? It's like with the Little Debbies when two are in a pack. You never just pull one out and put it back. Like, it's like, no, I'm going to eat two zebra cakes. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's like the double popsicle thing. You know, you're going to eat both them shits.
Good, because I am not eating that shit, and I can't eat that shit in my house right now.
Fuck, dude. I can feel it on me. I can feel it. I need to, like, exercise hard again. I do my little, like, dumbbell curls and that shit to make myself feel like I'm doing something.
These.
Oh, no, not sideways, up and down. Okay. Yeah. Not that that sounds any better, but yeah. I'm fucking fat, dude.
What I've learned is, celebration time, everybody. I lost 20 pounds since last month.
Using Nutrisystem.
No, I did not.
They do not sponsor us. Don't use Nutrisystem. Fuck them.
Like, mainly the two things that I cut out was McDonald's and candy bars.
McDonald's will stick to you. That is the plastic of foods.
Yes.
Like, out of every fast food, that is the worst because it's pretty much, the fries don't biodegrade.
None of it does, really.
They just pass through you, and they just kind of, like, disintegrate into little tiny, like, into what, you know, comes out of you. Or they stick inside of you. And burgers don't biodegrade except just a little bit where the mold like pops up.
They're so tasty though.
I know, a Big Mac is amazing.
And now they're like, right now they're buy one get one for a dollar.
Those motherfuckers.
I know.
Those sons of bitches. Dude, my heart fluttered, and oh, I can't do it though.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea, dude. I've been a savage. I've been eating food like it's cocaine.
I feel like you're doing it for me, because I'm not allowed to eat that shit right now.
Maybe you put some kind of voodoo, like, Catholic hex on it.
Bring shit on a fat punk so I can lose a couple pounds.
I know y'all have, like, wished it on me. I know y'all have been like, that motherfucker.
Every time everybody's bust that fat joke on me, I'm like, I hope you gain about 20 pounds. Everybody. And you've busted a lot of fat jokes on me. So, if you're fat...
I've busted a few.
Oh, so, Louisville music thing. I went to a show the other night.
Which one?
Bat Wizard, Stonecutters, and I forgot the name of the opening band, but they were really good.
Bat Wizard seems like that, like, should have been one of those British English bands from, like, the mid-70s. English, like, metal bands. Yeah. So, like, Blitzkrieg and shit.
They were good. They were good.
That place was packed. Yeah, wasn't it like all dudes though?
Oh yeah, it was all dudes. There was like 15 chicks there.
Yeah. Yeah.
15. Ted, the series is out. I tried it.
It's a series?
Yeah.
Is it better than Ted 2?
I like it.
I like his trashy Boston girlfriend. I would totally marry one of those.
Well, this takes place when John's a teenager, when Mark Wahlberg's character is in high school. So it's them going through. It's funny. It's real funny. And the dad and the mom are hilarious. His parents are fucking... Dude, it's on Peacock. It's worth a watch.
Everything's on the cock now.
More TV news. She-Hulk canceled.
She-Hulk canceled? What did she... Did she shimmy this time?
I don't know.
But she twerked and that drove America nuts.
Yeah, I think that's probably why it is.
Why was everybody mad at her for that?
I don't know.
I totally would. Her and Gamora. And you know what? I'd leave Nebula together and do her too.
Oh, Nebula's. She's fine.
And when she starts running at the mouth, you can just disassemble her because she's, you know, like a snap type model, pretty much. Like, she's all connected at the joints and shit. It's not even a glue.
I'm gonna have the old Black Widow, though, with Star Earth.
Oh, with her magnificent kicks?
Yes.
I'm gonna have to edit the fuck out of today, dude. I don't know what's wrong with me. I had to hold it in it.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I can't even say it, but I had to hold it in at work. Like, you know, it's, you go from working security and, like, sometimes at a bar to, you know, a college, and you gotta, dude, all I said today was, man, this girl thinks she's special, because she brought a book that she read it last semester back, wanted to know if she'd get her money back. I'm like, I don't know, I'll check. I was like, probably not, though, and I didn't even say it that loud, but I said to somebody, I was like, look, somebody thinks they're special and wants to know if they can return the book. I'm like, don't say that, Sean. I'm like, if this is like enough to make you, you know, because I didn't say it where they could hear it, but if that's enough to make you on edge, dude, they can't handle full on, like, full intensity, Sean. It couldn't handle any of us. And I just kind of wonder, like, it makes me wonder how I get through the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Because, I mean, like, we talk about cocks and, like...
Pussy, too.
Pussy and boobs and, you know, movies with cocks, pussies, and boobs and...
And balls.
Balls, yeah. I got a Manscaped 5.0. Got the whole shebang. And they sent me a bunch of shit I really didn't need. You know,
shit I don't need.
Like, I'm a blonde now. I'm living the life of a blonde. I cannot use shampoo, conditioner, mix. I have to use them separately because they cancel one another out. But yes, I do have the lawnmower 5.0, and boy, am I feeling clean.
Good. Good for you.
I had never shaved my ass before. I mean, I'd shaved the rest of it, you know, but like a clean taint, a clean, oh, dude, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't do any of that. Amanda does it for me.
That's nice of her.
It's love.
Because I know you don't wipe yourself properly.
I do. I do. I do wipe myself properly.
I'm just saying, dude.
I wipe properly.
Oh, shit. But anyway, what else we got going on before
Jesus
we
Christ,
got
I ain't doing all this fucking fucking not eating right for my health. It's not about my health.
Dude, I hope your body doesn't go into shock.
No, I'm still eating a little bit like shit. Like today, I ate like shit a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any money, so I kind of had to.
That sucks, man. That sucks.
I ate like a free pretzel and a McMuffin. I'm not proud of the McMuffin, but.
Yeah, that's like the healthiest breakfast option because it's
yeah.
a real egg.
I don't get egg.
Oh, yeah, you don't eat egg, but yeah.
Especially McDonald's government egg. That's the shit that when we were on welfare growing up and stuff, when my dad had appendicitis that he couldn't work, when we got like all government food,
yeah,
we were stoked because the eggs were like, you know, my dad's like, oh shit, this is just like what they use at McDonald's, and it was.
Oh, powdered egg or was
yeah.
it just folded? Yeah, but well, for the McMuffin though, they use a real egg.
Now. They used to not do that. They
for the McMuffin, it was just the nasty...
Yeah.
Why they even bother? They're McDonald's. They could just be like, fuck you. You're going to eat it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think people like that's nasty. And it was, but it was like... And it was weird, too. The government mashed potatoes we got tasted like fucking the same ones that fucking they have at school.
Oh, yeah. They're the... yeah, just the potato flakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, government cheese is amazing.
It's really good. Government American cheese. And it's just, we have a lot of it just sitting there rotting, molding.
They should hand that shit out more.
No. Any food reserves are not meant to be handed out. They proved that to us during the Great Depression. You know what they did in order to keep the price of grain high?
Yes, tell me, because history is so much fun.
It is, but no, this is conspiracy shit. But they burned our grain reserves while everybody was starving.
Oh, yeah.
Had they let the grain reserve, had they used the grain reserves, it would have brought the price of bread back down to a normal, and flour and all that, to a reasonable price, and but they didn't want to do that. So, yeah. History. Dude, I'm always kicking knowledge and eating corn nuts, dude. Got my... But... This week... We've got a special guest.
Yeah. Yes.
Special friends. We're going to be hitting up Dean from... The artists formerly known as Mongo. Now known as the Trash Devils. Oh, it's going.
Okay, just... cool.
That was the way he did. All right, everybody, we had technical difficulties and stuff.
I needed a cigarette. That's
yeah.
what it was.
But we're going to call Dean from Mongo.
Yes, now the Trash Devils.
All right, everybody, here we go with... I almost said Rifle, and then I almost said Mongo. Trash Devils.
Yes, let's see what old Dean's up to.
All right. I haven't seen him since Air Devils October.
Yeah, we played with him in KC.
Yo.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
Not
Welcome
much.
To P&P.
We got a lot to talk about with you today.
Well, I'm a talker, so you picked the right person.
All right.
All right.
First things first. Mongo just changed their name to Trash Devils. Is that
correct?
Right?
Literally a week ago.
Oh, it's been a week exactly. Okay.
Yeah. Well, ballpark, yeah. I think it was last Friday or Saturday or something like that.
So,
We had been talking about it for a while, and it was just the right time, and we got booked to play a show on January 5th. And we didn't have a name yet. picked, so we ended up playing the gig as Mongo, just to not make it awkward, I guess. But it took a big list to go through to finally find the name.
Oh, so Mongo was never really meant to be the name?
No. It was when we first formed, but you know, we had a drummer change back in late summer, and then as time went on, like I made a post about it, we just kind of discovered there was some negative things about that term or that name.
Oh, really?
So we just, as a band, we decided it was probably better to just kind of start over with a new name and having a new drummer on board with Nate and everything. Like, we're musically kind of evolving, so it just made sense for the name to go ahead and change to.
Okay, cool. So you all are playing different material now, or at least some different material?
Yeah, we're currently writing and recording a new record. We'll still play the songs because I wrote the majority of them, so the songs still belong to me and Wade, so obviously they'll stay with us, but we're just moving forward with a name and new music as well.
Awesome.
Good. So you guys are working on a new record, right?
Yeah, we started recording, I think it was right after Thanksgiving, so we've been 2 months now working in the studio, and then as of this past Sunday, I think we're up to 13 tracks done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're moving right along.
Hell yeah. Do you have a release date in mind, or are you still going to wait until you get through some later stages?
We talked about that the other day. I think we're going to end up with a lot of stuff. I mean, 13 now, I'd say by the end of this particular run, we'll probably end up with about 20 tracks.
Oh,
so we talked about putting out an EP in the spring, immediately followed by an album in the summer.
Awesome.
And that's yeah, we're just going to go. Like, we're getting old, and we don't have a lot of time. So it's time to just hit the ground running and work, you know? Like, we're just going to play music and go as fast as we possibly can.
Right. I'm with you.
So we're aiming for March. I would say March would be the right month to throw, but we don't have, like, a permanent date right now, but we're hoping to have some new music out soon, followed by like an actual hard release, and then some, like, make some music videos, and you know the dance, you do all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Put it out there and just get the fact that we had to change our name. It's almost kind of like reinventing yourself all over again, not really starting from scratch, but just kind of,
yeah, it's a new chapter in the band's.
Yeah, a new chapter. You have a chance to gain new audience, and hopefully the old audience sticks with you. So there's just it's been a very large, swirling mass of stuff going on, but it's all good. It's all positive, and I'm really happy. I'm really in a good place right now.
Good, man. I'm glad to hear it, man. We played with you guys in Cave City. That was a blast.
Yeah. Rock's Glass is awesome, and unfortunately they had to move like 2 weeks ago.
That's what I heard.
Have they found a new place yet?
There was a property dispute or a landlord dispute or some crap, and they did find a new location. I think it's maybe half mile down the road or something, but as far as I know, they're in the process of moving and relocating, and I'm hoping that they reopen soon, springtime wise, under a new location, but the name and everything will stay the same, and hopefully the stage and everything that Matt and Alex had built stays that way. They're great people, and they were really on the right track of doing something amazing for our music scene here, and unfortunately they got dealt the bad hand of business.
Yeah, we definitely saw firsthand like how the town felt about the Rock's Glass. We initially tried to check into one motel, and a guy who looked like the dude who got hit with the polar bear in Roadhouse told us they were full. And then the next place was, you know, cool with it, you know.
The next place gave us a discount and shit because we were playing the Rocks Glass. They're like, oh.
So I think it's just that, it's that Dukes of Hazzard mentality when you go to a small country town and you're like, I'm in a punk rock band. We're going to play at the rock and roll venue. They still have that 1940s mentality of that shit.
Yeah.
They had a really hard time taking in the fact that the world's a bigger place.
Yeah. Do y'all have a do y'all have any shows coming up soon or?
No, we actually don't. Aside from a show that I think you guys are playing on in Richmond later in the summer, the punk rock flea market.
Maybe.
We confirmed that a couple days ago. So honestly, as of right now, that is the only date on our calendar, which is August of 2024.
Oh, hey.
I mean, literally starting from, you know, ground up again. We purposely didn't book anything because we knew we were going to take off for the winter to record. And when you get a call with 3 days notice to play a venue in your hometown, it's pretty easy to say yes to that.
Right.
But as far as booking out of town and all that stuff, I was going to take January and February to start emailing and try to book some shows and kind of get out of here, because that's the one thing that we run into the most is you guys and everybody we talk to, they want to come here. And we're baffled by that because we're like, why? You have an amazing music scene that we want to be part of. You don't want to play here. We want to play there. So we're working on booking some shows right now. I've actually just checked my email a little bit ago, and I've got some offers and stuff. So it is a work in progress.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, the punk rock flea market. Yeah, so that's Trash Devil's next show as of right now.
As of right now, but that's a long ways away. We will definitely put together like something locally when we do like a CD release party or anything like that. We're in a unique position. A lot of people still think just because I'm in the band that we're a Bowling Green band, but we're actually based in Glasgow.
Right.
So being in Glasgow, you're in the Bowling Green music scene area, you're in the Cave City music scene area, but we're also really not that far from like Somerset, and you know, there's a couple other like areas in our little vicinity here, but Nashville and Louisville, Lexington, like those are our go-to. That's what we're eyeballing right now.
Right.
And hoping to get more shows up in those music scenes because they're just more fitting. We have a hard time playing our own town because we don't fit in.
Right.
And we're not metal enough, or, you know, the typical thing is everything here is either a hard rock metal band or a country band, which makes perfect sense because that's just how it is. Yeah. But punk rock is, I wouldn't say frowned upon, but it's misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah, still misunderstood after all these years.
Still misunderstood, you know, small town.
Yeah, it's, yeah, Louisville's, I do enjoy playing Louisville, and,
Louisville has a lot of times great bands. There are just, like, way more bands than there are people who go out, and the people who do go out, most of them perform in one form or another. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, you gotta kind of trick Louisvillians into coming out. Make them think you're not going to play again ever or something, you know, like space out the shows. If you start playing like every 2 weeks or even every month, like then people start getting lazy and.
Oh, of course. That's everywhere. I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to do is just play a few times a year in our own little town. Which, you know, we're losing some clubs around here, and so we're kind of in a weird state anyway because we lost some really good clubs, and they haven't really been replaced. So it's smart for a band like us to look to Louisville or Nashville or or Lexington or even like Cincinnati, which I'm so out of the loop. I haven't really tapped into those music scenes at all. But thanks that, you know, being on Coffin Curse Records, we're very thankful that we're able to get in touch with other bands through the label. And, you know, we're really hoping to start playing other cities and make a name for this band, because I think that's where we went wrong with Mongo's. We just stayed home too much.
That's easy to do, though, yeah. Especially if you have a home crowd. But, yeah, I could see the trouble with sticking around, especially, yeah, a lot of music venues have been closing all over the country and not being replaced. So, but, yeah, definitely, it has helped us to get out a little bit. Because Louisville's a bit of a bubble. It's easy to get stuck here. I guess any city could be that way. Any town could be that way.
Oh, yes. They're all like that. But right. They're all uniquely different, too. You know, it's like you get lucky sometimes and you show up and play a venue you've never played before and there's actually a crowd.
Yeah.
And but, you know, a lot of places we go, there's that little click, and the hardest part is when you're on a bill with like four or five bands. You know, one band's going to be the draw, and all their friends are going to hang out outside with them. So you end up playing into an empty room.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, it's just part of it. I mean, I've been doing this for so long that I'm used to it, but I'm still gonna bitch about it, you know, because it's like I'm in this for entertaining people. Where are the people?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's hard to make a name for yourself when there's no crowd, you know. So you just never know what you're gonna run into, and I think that's what keeps us going, is that the great unknown. You don't know what to expect, and you hope for the best, you know.
Yeah, it's a good show. You know, you share an energy with the crowd, and when there's not much of a crowd, it can be frustrating. Somebody asked me if, you know, they're like, well, are you playing because you enjoy playing, or are you trying to get something out of it? And it's like, I enjoy playing, but if I just enjoyed playing, I would stay at home and play. You know,
That's true. There's a
reason we play out. We're trying to create an environment every single occasion where we can all just kind of share an atmosphere and have a good time. But yes, it can be frustrating when one band's the draw.
I've seen it all happen too, because a lot of my peers, which a lot of them have put it down and moved on, I think, just because the music industry alone has changed so much.
Yeah.
But it is that frustration of working with other bands, working with booking venues, and, you know, some people just lose interest in it real quick because they're like, you know, it's not the same as it used to be. It's not as fun as it used to be. I can't shut it off for some reason. I have thought about it. I've tried kind of, sort of, to do it, and it's impossible. I just cannot stop. And I guess I'm the oddball of it. You know, I know a lot of other, very few that are doing that, but some people just don't have the ability to walk away from it and go, well, I gave it a shot. You know, to me, this is part of my life.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and, I mean, yeah, this is what we do. You know, everybody has something that they do outside of work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, family or whatnot, and this happens to be what we do. I mean, yeah, I went a good 10 years without playing and just trying to, like, work, and, you know, and it wasn't bad, you know, but definitely felt like something was missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took a break, too, and, well, shit, yeah, I mean, me and Sean, like, took a break together. We played together, and then we started The Response, and, I feel complete again. But my kids were real young, so I needed to be at home a lot. So now they're teenagers, they don't want me around. So you know, now it's time for me to go play again.
That's true. I mean, I think the smart people are able to navigate it. and some people get lost and lose their way or just give up completely. So it's all about the music for me. I'm so drawn to it. I just can't not do it, you know? I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. It's... Yeah, I have no idea. I would be bored.
It's a terrible thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I really like meeting guys like you and playing the shows and coming up to your turf and everything. Like it really keeps the fire going. Like it's exciting for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks really good on social media. It'll be like, hey, we're playing in Louisville.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know, all these other bands. Like, I meet kids still to this day. I mean, nothing's changed. You meet 16-year-old that's like, man, I hope one day to be playing in Louisville and playing all these clubs and stuff like you are. And I'm like, half of you is like, yeah, man, it's awesome. And the other half of you is like, are you sure?
Yeah. Run! No.
I've never been discouraging to anybody young, but I always tell them the truth. I'm like, you need to realize that what you see on TV is not what you see when you play these clubs. You know, we're changing our clothes in the bathroom. We're, you know, freezing to death and hungry and tired. Like, it's not MTV Cribs and all that stuff.
Unfortunately.
Whatever they're watching nowadays. Like, I don't see how these people are making it successfully. It's so baffling to me because you can sell records off TikTok or whatever. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't make sense to me even when bands were getting signed to major labels in the 90s and early 2000s, you know? Like, I didn't see how they could afford it. But it always looked so glamorous. Like, oh, you just wanted that so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like a lot of fun, and of course, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, the horror stories are coming out about the way a lot of these artists were treated, and of course, all the costs being taken out of their end of the budget, and not the record labels or the studios, so it's, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a lot there that is just not visible. And especially when you're 16 and you've got a dream and you're really intent on it. It's not
worth it. Well, I mean, I'm just like, just play. Don't worry about the crowd size. Don't worry about any of that petty, like, stuff. You know, it's easy to get caught in that.
It is.
And get wrapped up in it, you know, and then get discouraged, you know. It's like, just play. If you're playing and having a good time and you're in a band with people you actually get along with and everything's just fun, then you check your life at the door and the music becomes this magical thing that gives you happiness. And right now I'm in the best place I've ever been, you know. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Everything I wanted 10 years ago, I have now.
That's
like,
great.
That's the best way to put it.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad everything's going well for you. And Trash Devils, I can't wait to see y'all play out again. Hopefully we will be on that punk rock yard sale. And
yeah, we just found out about it today. I think Pumpkin Guts is on
it. Yeah, and I don't know. Whoever I talked to, I was like, just email them. They'll get back to you. It took them a couple weeks to get back to me, but they said as long as your stuff is entered, that's all they need, and they just have to sort through it, you know?
That would be fun.
But, I'm looking forward to getting back with you guys. I'd hope to play some shows in either Louisville or that club in Jeffersonville. That it was Losers, and now it's Other Side.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called the Other Side now?
Yeah, they changed their name. Yeah.
Good.
That was awesome. Like, we really had a great show there. And
that's a great thing.
I mean, you guys have a great music scene up there, so don't take it for granted, because it's always been a wishy-washy struggle in this part of the or Kentucky. But we're so close to Nashville, it just makes things awkward, you know?
Yeah.
You can go to Nashville and play clubs and all that stuff, but it's still, I don't know. It just seems more authentic to me up there.
Well, Nashville is like the L.A. or, you know, of Tennessee.
It is now. It used to not be that way, but it's clubs like the Springwater that keep it alive, you know, like the nitty, you know, grit of true music, and especially like what we're all doing, the punk rock kind of stuff. Like, there's still a home for it, you know, but there's not really a crowd for it.
That's so odd, because it's
that whole transition timing of just the generations are different, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least we still have a place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the youngsters who go to shows here go see, they'll go see somebody like Belushi Speedball, who's really good and they can play. But a lot of the youngsters are kind of there for the show itself. I mean, it is a whole show. So,
yeah.
But in terms of young people that I've seen going out consistently to as many shows as they can go to, there aren't that many really all ages shows other than punk rock night.
Right.
Yeah. But it's just not as many as there used to be. And not like I wasn't around in the early 90s. I was around like in the mid to late 90s. That's when I first started coming around, and there were more people, but at the same time more people were going out and hanging out outside still. We had the internet, but that was at home on a big clunky computer. We still had a life outside, and just things have changed. And people still enjoy music, they listen to it, they just go about it differently, and it's just got to be marketed to them differently, and the people that are there make it worth it.
It's true, and I don't know, there's still, you know, for every bad night, there's always a good night, you know, and so it's still alive, and I'm chasing it, you know. Every time we book a show, we get excited.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, us too. I'm the same way. I'm like a little kid with that stuff.
Yeah, I really have never changed, like, you know, no matter what's happened, it's like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, I don't have hobbies, you know? Like, music was the hobby.
Right.
And the passion, and the part-time job, and the dream. Like, you put it all into one thing. And it covers all the bases of everything that other people I know juggle. Like, music is the thing I juggle, because it's got so many elements to it.
Yeah. And there are definitely a lot of components. I mean, playing, listening, writing, recording.
Oh, I love it. I love every bit of it. It's so much fun to me. We've had an absolute blast recording. And, you know, Nate joined the band, I think, back in August or September, early September. And his drumming is just... it's insane. Like, I don't have to say a lot to him. I can mention, like, try this on this part, or when I wrote the song, this is what I had in mind, and he instantly gets it.
Yeah, he's a badass drummer.
He's great, and he's a super cool dude, and me and Wade are just over the moon to have found him, like, just by chance. Like, it was just out of pure luck that he, like, hit me up one day, and we were just talking about we both are big fans of Blink-182, and we were just talking about music, and their new album was getting ready to come out and stuff, and we were in this pickle where it's like, we have shows coming up, and our drummer had kind of disappeared, and we were like, we didn't know what was going on, and so I somehow me and Nate ended up texting each other, and I was like, hey, do you have a minute? And then I called him. I said, look, if I sent you 10 songs to learn, could you know them in like 4 days? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was literally like 3 or 4 days, because that's when we played with you all in Cave City, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was that show. Yeah, you were at Nate's first show.
Yeah.
And you all sounded awesome.
3 days, ballpark about 3 days. We had one rehearsal, and then we played two shows. We played Cave City Friday night and Nashville on Saturday night. And he absolutely hit a home run. And it was overwhelming because we were so happy that we found him, and or he found us, and we were able to keep going as a band musically. But we were also going through this horrific, terrible thing of basically a band member falling out thing, you know, and it was awful.
Right.
So it was a very odd time for me, and I'm still to this day, I'm kind of struggling with it, but you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I'll be damned if anything pulls it or stops me from doing it, you know, like I have to do this.
Fuck yeah. And I feel you.
Doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wade and Nate are just outstanding bandmates to work with, and that's really what it is. Like, it is a full-blown working relationship with one goal in mind of making something awesome, having a good time, and playing the kind of music that the three of us have always wanted to play. And to go back to what I was saying earlier, our town is very diverse in music, but it still lands in these two categories, hard rock, metal, and country, or cover bands even. You can throw that in. It's just a dominant factor down here.
You know how long it took for hard rock metal to become a dominant factor in Kentucky? I remember, like, my cousins getting chased around, like, Liberty, Kentucky and stuff because they were into that stuff, and it just wasn't cool back then.
Right. It's definitely cool now.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't Ace Frehley play down there last year?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, I think he played... Oh, no, he played Cave City, but not the Rocks class. It was somewhere else.
No, you're talking about the guy from Danzig.
Oh, John Christ. Yeah, I knew John he Christ. Played there, but I thought...
Yeah, we opened for that show, too.
Oh, shit.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, it was great. Well, because I know the guy that puts on the Vet City Con thing.
Right.
And... He said, hey, listen, I got John Christ coming.
Oh, my God. I wish I could have gone.
They're going to throw a band together and just play all these Danzig songs. Are you interested in helping put a show or finding a venue? And then you guys, Mongo, could open. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I was a diehard Misfits and Danzig fan growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
So I freaked out and I was like, well, we're not going to find anything in Bowling Green that will touch it. But let me make a phone call. And I called the Rocks Blast and they were like me. They were like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to put John Christ on our stage? Absolutely. So we made that happen. And that was absolutely amazing. I was on cloud nine for that because I truly grew up hardcore Danzig fan, and I saw them on the third album in Tampa, Florida. And when I got to finally have some time with him, I was like, I just want you to know I was 15 years old and I saw you guys open for Black Sabbath in Tampa, Florida, and it was absolutely mind-blowing. It was fantastic. He gave me a big hug, and then Erie Vaughn walked in, and I was like,
what?
Erie lives in Nashville, and he drove up to Bowling Green to see John at this Vet City Con thing that they were at.
Wasn't he living in Bowling Green for a while, too?
To what, the con?
Erie Vaughn, I think he was living in Bowling Green for a little while.
Oh, I don't know. I know he lives in, I mean, everybody lives in Nashville at this point. So Bowling Green's just 45 minutes away, so it's easy for people to pop in and out of here all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever lived here. I would say he probably lived somewhere.
I think he did briefly. I saw an interview with him on the Frumes channel or something. He does all the ex-Misfits guys and Undead and all that. And I think at the time, but I'm sure he was right by Nashville. I mean,
yeah. There's this little gap between Bowling Green and Nashville. It has all these really nice little towns, and they're very quiet, and they all have everything you need, you know, and they're right off the interstate. So after years of living here, I've discovered that so many celebrities live in between Bowling Green and Nashville because they're close to the city, they're close to everything they need, they're close to the airport, and but they get to live a quiet life.
Right.
And they live in these little towns where nobody even bats an eye at them. They don't know, oh, there's the guy that played bass for Glenn Danzig for 7 years. Like, nobody cares. You know, like, yeah. you and me, you're going to geek out over that. But, you know, Jane Doe at the Walmart wouldn't have a clue who these people were, or the impact of what they've done, you know, musically. So... It's crazy to see who lives down there and find out who lives down there now. It's like, wow, everybody. They've all transferred from Hollywood out to here.
Yeah, everybody's looking for a quieter or place, but with, you know, the same amenities or at least access to them.
Yeah. It's easier to live here and just fly out to Los Angeles when you have to.
Yeah.
You know, that's the... thing that they've all told me, every celebrity I've ever met. I'm like, I didn't know you lived in Belle Meade. I didn't know you lived in Franklin. They're like, yeah, I had to get out of Anaheim. It was terrible. The prices, all the bullshit that came with it. You know, they were like, we're getting out of here. We're moving to Tennessee.
I like how they're keeping it low key, too, so the prices don't rise too quickly.
Nashville's insane. It's skyrocketing down there. But yeah, of all the places to get an East Coast In-N-Out burger, it's Nashville. I mean, that's funny.
Oh, hold on. They have an In-N-Out burger in Nashville?
Oh, you all don't know about that?
No!
So, In-N-Out Burger announced recently that they were opening an East Coast office.
I heard about that.
They were going to start looking into the option of franchising on the East Coast, but they're starting in Nashville, and I guess it will spread from there. So if you look at it, which I mean, I get it. It's a thing. Like, people get really into that franchise food stuff, or like a Buc-ee's thing. Like, it's a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
But people just love In-N-Out Burger. And they were obviously on the West Coast, but the furthest one you could get from here would, if you could drive to Dallas, right? So there's one in Dallas, Texas. So they didn't have anything basically east of the Mississippi River, if you want to break it down like that.
Yeah.
And so they've opened, or they've planted an office, they've built a headquarters in Tennessee, and they're going to start building In-N-Out Burgers in the Nashville area, and then from that it will spread. So you're looking at Florida to New York and everything in between. So it's gonna happen. I would not be surprised if Louisville ended up with like four or five of them.
We finally got a couple Jack in the Boxes.
Yeah,
that's crazy too. Whataburger's spreading up north too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard of
that. They're all over Nashville now.
I'm most excited about a Wawa coming to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go wee-wee in the Wawa when you have to stop.
Oh, they have the best gas station sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
I'm so hungry I could eat a sandwich from a gas station.
Oh, they actually make, like, real sandwiches there. That's the crazy thing. Yeah, they have somebody on them. It's crazy.
The first time we went to a Buc-ee's, I had the greatest like barbecue sandwich of my life, and I'm like, this is insane. It's a gas station.
Yeah.
But it's really not. It's a world. It's a world of its own.
when that In-N-Out Burger opens in Nashville, we're going to need you to book us a show down in Nashville. So we have an excuse to go down there and just not to eat burgers.
So. Yeah, I'm working on that. We definitely have the contacts and the hookups in the Nashville and Knoxville area. And that's obviously closer for me. It's in the same time zone and everything. But to go to Louisville and Lexington, you know, there's a time zone change. And it makes things awkward when you're booking shows and stuff. And it's crazy to know that our state's cut in half. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of weird with the time zone.
I'm working on it. We've got some emails out right now. We're looking at getting some dates in the Nashville, Murfreesboro area. So hopefully we'll have some show dates coming up this spring.
Awesome. Yeah. That awesome, man. Looking forward to the new recordings. And is there anything that you all want to plug at all?
Well, I mean, basically, we're just really happy with the name. But going through a list of names and going, hey, that sounds pretty cool, and then you Google it or you look it up on Bandcamp or Spotify, and you end up finding out, oh, that already exists, or there's already a band that goes by that name, or a band that sounds like that. And we went through a list of names. I would say about 30 names.
Wow.
And we ended up having to do the game where it's like, well, let's take this word and this word and try to put stuff with it. Or, you know, the dreaded number. Let's put a number with it. You know, like, we really struggled for a little bit. And Trash Devils, oddly enough, the only thing we found is there was a song called Trash Devils by a band called Toby. Oh. And that was the only thing I found in the realm of music that was called Trash Devils. And so we did our digging hard this time because we really fucked up with that Mongo name. And I wanted to make sure we got a good one. Right. And I started looking at flyers, and honestly, like, your name came up. There's the band from Lexington, Small Steps. Right. There's a band I love from San Diego, which you all probably know them too, Some Kind of Nightmare.
Oh, yeah. They're our homies.
And you pull up that kind of name. You pull up all these flyers of the bands that we are all, you know, we all know them from this area. And being on Coffin Curse Records, there's a ton of bands on Coffin Curse that just have some great names. And when you look at those flyers and you look at those names, you're like, that's a punk band. You just know, like, you read it and you go, that's a fucking punk rock band. Like, just look at it. Sounds like it, looks like it. And that's the dilemma we were up against hard, looking at all these names and being like, oh, that already exists. Or you would say one and go, well, that totally exists. We know that exists. And then you get on Bandcamp and there's like eight bands with that name.
Yeah.
So we really took our time to make sure we picked something that was not going to be immediately put up against something else. I didn't want to discover another band that had a Facebook page that hasn't been looked at since 2007.
No.
And had the same name. Like, we really did our homework, and Trash Devils was wide open. So we messed around with it. We made some mock-up posters and used the name and changed the fonts and all that shit. And finally the day came where the three of us were like, I think this is it. You know, like, it sounds good, it looks good. And if you put that name on a flyer with a bunch of other punk rock bands, it fits.
Yeah.
Like a shoe. Like, it's the Cinderella moment. Like, it looks right. And so it just immediately changed everything for me mentally. Like, I am in a whole new space of just this fresh, oh open freedom to get away from these past few bands I've been in that were like pinned to things, you know, like
yeah.
The name has a theme and you can't really get away. You know, like if your band's name was the Pink Spiders, you know, you look at these bands with colors and animals and everything they do is going to be pink. Everything they do is going to have a spider on it. And yeah. If you call yourself, you know, the Black Bear Band, you can't put an orange monkey on it. You know, like it's weird. And so we really struggled to make sure we found something that was, I don't know, just open. Like you can change the font and it looks good with every font that you put on it. You can be any color you want. You can put anything you want to it. And it just seems to work. So I think we picked the right name and we're really excited. I cannot wait to get the first single out, which I'm hoping at this point was today, January 18th. I would say we're maybe a month away from a first single, if not sooner than that.
Awesome. Yeah, you got to hit us up when that...
We're super excited.
When that's out, and it'll go right on the Partners and Pals playlist.
Yeah, we're going to try to put out two songs. I want to be so old school. Like, we got to have an A and a B side, right?
Right, yeah.
We can't get records pressed in time, but we could at least put out music and make videos and have fun with it, you know? So,
right.
I would say the first single is easily 3 weeks away, ballpark a month away. As long as the weather doesn't keep doing all this crap, we can get in the studio and finish what we're working on.
Oh, I know it. I don't know how you guys are right now, but that's what I'm worried about tonight is driving home from here and it's supposed to hit us like around.
Yeah,
shortly.
This one is weird. They said it was coming up from the south, so I think Nashville got more snow and ice than we did.
Damn.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Everything comes up from the southwest now, which is, when I was a kid, everything came down from the north or from the west. So, you know it's bad when it's raining in Nashville and then it turns to ice, and then it comes up here, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's weird. We've been on track. We've been in the studio literally ever since Thanksgiving, and it's coming out. It's coming out soon, and I cannot wait to just get this going. It's so exciting.
Fuck yeah. We're excited to hear it.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited to work with you guys again. That was a fun fucking show, and if we can do that all the time, that makes...
Oh,
my
yeah.
Life easier.
Definitely.
That makes it worth it.
And we'll meet you guys somewhere, too, if you guys want to do somewhere other than Louisville. Like we're.
But if you want to do Louisville, you know, we're down to do Louisville, too.
Yeah, we're down for whatever, dude.
I like playing Louisville, but for us, it's better to do it on a Saturday.
Yes.
Because to get off work on a Friday at 5 o'clock our time, it's already 6 o'clock your time.
Right.
So the drive alone is a challenge. It's like, well... We got to load in at 8. We're going to be lucky to roll into town at 7:45. You know, like it's this weird game that you have to play mentally. It's like, okay, we have a show. We go on at 9:30. It's 5 o'clock here, but it's 6 o'clock there.
Right.
And then you figure in, you know, the amounts of stuff that we have to go through. We have to go through Elizabethtown. And if you hit Elizabethtown at the wrong time, there might be some congestion.
Right.
And then you get into, Mount Washington?
Yeah.
There's just certain parts of I-65 that can get, you know, shitty.
Oh, yeah.
And so as soon as we're coming into the metro, it's like a guarantee that you're just going to come to an instant stop before you even make it to Freedom Hall. It's like, damn.
That's,
you know,
that's
the
true.
Airport throws you a loop in it. But we have played Air Devils in. We've played Never Say Die, I think, 3 times.
Yeah, we've played there the same amount of times.
I love playing at Air Devils, and I absolutely love playing at I'm going to draw a blank now. Oh, I think I'm confusing it with the other Magbar.
Magbar, yeah.
I love playing Magbar, but that club in Jeffersonville, which is now other side,
yeah,
812. That place was amazingly awesome. I loved it.
We haven't played there, but we've played the Alcove, and that's a cool place. It's an outdoor place, but they have, it's a tented area, and during the winter time, it's heated. But yeah, it's also
not the same club.
No, the Alcove is a different club. It's a few blocks down, and I think what is it? The other side is a little further west. It's still in Jeffersonville, but it's closer to New Albany, and New Albany has a venue, right. The Enchanted Forest, which we haven't been to yet. I want to check it out.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that place. I was really impressed with it. We had a great time at that venue. But I love, there's so many bands from Louisville. Obviously I've been a fan of the God Awfuls for a long time. My reintroduction to Louisville was when I was coming up to do shows with Gravel and Spiders was one band that played all the time, and I'm gonna draw a blank on all this stuff. You've always had a great music scene, and it's easy to get up there on a Saturday, but the Friday gigs are like, we just can't do it. It's impossible. It makes it so hard to get off work in time to get all this shit loaded up and get up there and do the gig. And then for you guys, it's like, oh, cool, we're done. We get to go home. It's 2 a.m. And for us, it's like, we get home at 4:30.
Oh, yeah. Been there. That's us.
We're old men. So, yeah, we're hoping to get more shows up in Louisville. I just emailed a bunch of clubs a couple days ago because, you know, new name, new everything, new email address and everything.
Nice.
So we're trying to get some gigs booked, and I have got you guys, and I've got about 10, 15 bands on a short list that I keep next to my computer at all times. And whenever I get a date, I immediately just go through that list and be like, are you available? Do you want to play the show? And so I'm hoping to start doing that soon because I should be getting some callbacks soon, especially from like Nashville and stuff. So,
yeah, just let us know. We're always down for the most part, especially if it's a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've done those Monday night, Wednesday night gigs, and it's like, you know what? When I was 20, it was awesome.
Right.
But I'm almost 50, and I'm like, I can't fucking do this. Like, I'll do it as a weekend warrior, but I cannot do this on a Tuesday night and be a responsible adult, get up, go to work the next day. It's not feasible.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But that's what a lot of bands are doing now to get out, you know, instead of going on long tours, they're just going out on weekends, and that seems to be working for people, so.
It's worked for me for quite some time, especially as an original band. I mean, it is the turf, you know, like it works best. It's the best way to flow with the way things are going. And, you know, you just have a better outcome of a crowd. You know, you would think playing in Nashville is crazy because Music City lives up to its fucking name. Every night there's a fucking concert in that town at 100 venues, you know?
Yeah.
And you think like, oh, we're going to play this awesome venue in Nashville on a Wednesday night, but we're opening for some touring band that no one's heard of. And so you think something good might come of it, but nothing comes of it. But in the back of your mind, you can't let go of that feeling of when you were a kid of like, this is all I want to do. And then you get there and you're just set up for disappointment. But, you know, we've had some fun. You know, it's like, I love it when no matter how the show goes, the three of us have had an absolute fucking blast just hanging out, grabbing some food, hanging out, talking gear, meeting the other bands, swapping merch and when I get home, I always take a picture. I'm like, I met these great bands last night. I got stickers. I got CDs. You know, like, it's cool. Like, for me, I'm still a fan.
Right. Yeah,
as equal
too.
As I am a performer. So I just can't let that part of it go, you know? Like, it just... It's really fun for me still, even though it has its moments. It's the good outweighs the bad, you know.
I feel you on that. I thank you so much for being on tonight. It was great. It's great chatting with you. I'm so psyched to hear the new single, and you got to just let us know when it comes out. And we'll promote it.
Yeah, we'll plug the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I will blast it your way as soon as it's done. I'm really excited. I think, like I said earlier, we're going to put out at least 2 songs right out of the gate and just get this thing rolling down the hill and see what happens. But I'm looking forward to what the future has in store. I'm really, really excited for what Trash Devils has in store. So I need you guys on board. I need every band out there, part of the punk rock scene. It's in our hands. You know, you got us. It's our thing to take care of and nurture and make the best of it. So let's work together and have some fun.
Fuck yeah.
Right on.
You guys are awesome, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate
it. Hey, no problem. Everybody check out Trash Devils. They'll be out before August 24th, but that is when Punk Rock Yard Sale is. So we'll keep y'all posted.
Kentucky. Yes.
But
yeah, Dean, just Trash Devils on Facebook and Instagram, updates coming, dates coming, music coming, everything. It's coming! Oh my God!
Bring a towel, it's coming everywhere.
Look, clean up this mess.
Yeah. But Dean, thank you so much, and we're gonna keep in touch, and definitely let us know if you're coming to Louisville anytime soon. We'll go get some food or something, or we'll play a show. Whatever. Whatever sounds good.
Whatever sounds good. I will definitely do that. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
No problem. We'll see you later, Dean.
Later.
Dean of the Trash Devils.
I almost said Mongo, but...
I caught myself.
Yeah.
That was a good interview.
Yeah, it was. Learned a little bit about the John Crichton. No, your Yvonne was there, but yeah.
I know. So, next...
We've been trying to get Eerie Vaughn on here. It's going to happen one day.
I did speak with him.
Yeah, you know, he's a busy man. Well, yeah.
But I did get to tell... Eerie Vaughn messaged me, basically. Bye. He returned my message.
Yeah.
Next week... Local Overload will be here.
Yeah.
That's going to be
awesome.
They
have been awesome. They've put the response on like
three or four different...
They have all types of bands on their show.
Yeah.
Like most of the bands we have on are... I'm not going to say punk bands, but mostly punk bands in around that scene, you know, like... But we've had some metal bands, some hardcore, you know, obviously surf band... And groups of different influences, and I fucking forgot what I was gonna say. I totally fucking forgot. It just dropped out. It was gonna be some good shit too. It was gonna be radio friendly. It was gonna mean something. Fuck. What were you saying?
Oh no, man.
This is good radio.
Like I say shit and I lose it immediately because of my THC.
I had a thing and yeah. But all right, folks. Well, I'm going to stop while I'm behind, and yeah.
I'm going to stop while I'm behind, too.
Don't forget, February 2nd,
Future Slug.
And Plague 9 at Whirling Tiger, and Creep Sync CD release show with...
Viberlis.
At Seidenfadens.
Yep.
Down the street from where Come Back In no longer is.
And we will see you all next week with Local Overload.
Local Overload.
We love you.